This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Well, I think it's fair to say that the press still doesn't know what to do with the conservative female presidential candidate. Sarah Palin was first. Michelle Bachmann is currently under scrutiny, especially for something she may have believed while a Lutheran regarding the Pope and the Antichrist. Joining us to talk about media coverage of GOP presidential candidate Michelle Bachmann, Lutheran beliefs and the papacy, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway. Molly is a regular guest, a reporter in Washington, D.C., and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. It's nice to be here.
What about Michelle Bachmann's recent religious affiliation is so controversial in the media's eyes?
Well, the problem seems to be the fact of the Reformation, which was breaking news to many reporters who apparently were completely unfamiliar with precisely what divides Lutherans and Catholics. So Michelle Bachmann used to be a member, is no longer, and hasn't been worshiping at a Lutheran church for years, but she used to be a Lutheran of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. And this is one of the confessional Lutheran denominations that retains its confessional documents rather than rewriting them. So you tend to see this breakdown in, particularly you can look at it in America, more liberal or progressive denominations will update their confessional documents to match whatever's going on at the moment. And other people actually say, no, our doctrine stays the same no matter what's happening or, you know, what you might be reading in the New York Times. So Bachmann's former church was one of these confessional churches that doesn't change its confessional subscription. And this news was very difficult for the political media to accept.
Mix that together, as you note in your recent writing, with kind of the meltdown mentality when it comes to conservative female presidential candidates. And what do you get?
Well, yeah, and I just want to, and I guess I should clarify, the whole media hullabaloo here was that one of the things that Luther had written, at, you know, in the 1500s was in his very strong writing against the papacy, which he felt put itself in opposition to the gospel of Christ. One of the things that Luther and other reformers wrote was that this was the very office of the Antichrist. And this is not something, like out of a Left Behind novel or out of a, you know, Hollywood blockbuster, but this is, you know, more in the traditional Christian sense when people were ever upset about the authority that the papacy took for itself. And even, you know, people within the church, bishops and others, would say that the papal office was the office of the Antichrist. Anyway, I don't think that really the media are interested in these battles between Protestants and Catholics or Lutherans and Catholics. I don't think they really are big fans of the authority of the papacy and like they really want to be defending it, because normally when you see the media's response to the Catholic Church, they're on the attack for the Catholic teachings on, male-only priesthood, their teachings on the sanctity of life, both when it comes to prohibitions on abortion and euthanasia. I mean, they're normally really hostile to Catholics and their teachings. But when a female conservative Republican candidate happened to have formerly been in a church body that questioned the authority of the papacy, well, then all of a sudden they're strongly defending the Catholic teaching and they're going on the attack, and there's been like this total inquisition against the Lutheran church. Like, how dare they actually oppose the papacy? It has been hilarious to watch, or it would be hilarious, I guess, it's hilarious if you don't take politics too seriously. It's actually quite sad to see how unserious the media treat the religious views of, you know, the candidates and how ill-equipped they are to handle any nuance or ancient teaching or any, you know, any context at all, really.
You say that the Atlantic piece that caught your attention isn't necessarily riddled with error. You say the problem is that the piece exists at all. What do you mean?
Yeah, the piece itself, like, if you actually read the piece, it wasn't that bad. But why are we talking about why are we talking about the Book of Concord and the confessional documents that the Lutheran Church compiled in the 16th century right now? Is it because we earnestly care about this division in the church and we really want to see it, you know, this problem between Rome and the Lutherans resolved? Really? No, it's because it's just all a tool to attack this candidate. And so it's not like we're only talking about it so as to make her appear outside the pale, or beyond the pale, outside of the realm of possible candidates or whatnot. And I am not personally a fan of Michelle Bachmann, and so this isn't about my own, you know, personal feelings about her politics or whatnot, but it's unquestioned that this treatment of her is just, you know, it's, again, Sarah Palin style. It's very bizarre. So it's not, again, that the content was bad. The article itself was okay, although the headline was actually a complete lie. It said that her church says that the Pope is the Antichrist, and she's not a member of this church, and she has not even been attending this church for years. They're really reaching back to tie her to this Reformation era belief that, again, I do not accept the claim that they're genuinely interested in this teaching.
So they got the timeline wrong, at the very least, in the headline.
Yes.
How would you respond to somebody who says, look, we get a very similar kind of reaction from religious stories, whether it be Michelle Bachmann, Sarah Palin, or in the past, then presidential candidate Barack Obama and his affiliation with the Reverend Jeremy Wright and that particular church that was so controversial. The media seemed to botch that story too. What's different here?
Well, actually, I don't know if there's anything that different. I was also a big critic of the way that story was handled. It is certainly true that President Obama's, you know, former congregation and his former pastor said some things that sound very bad to the ear, but they were also not talked about in context. They were not talked about in context of their own theology, either when it comes to like Black liberation theology or even just mainline Protestant thought, or how it differs from the way evangelicals might think that, you know, the United States is this uniquely blessed country, and that's not something that's universally held by Protestants in America. That was also a story that from the very beginning I thought was handled very poorly. You can take snippets of sermons, but you need to explain them and put them in context. I'm not saying by any stretch that either the Lutheran teachings against the papacy or the United Church of Christ teachings or Jeremiah Wright's sermons are not to be discussed. They just need to be discussed better, and they need to be discussed by people who are not theologically ignorant or just learning about these things for the very first time.
Is it true, as was written in the Los Angeles Times, that Michelle Bachmann left the church because she was accused of anti-Catholic bias?
Yeah, this is just, again, a perfect example. The Los Angeles Times reporter simply rewrites, basically like steals the story from The Atlantic, doesn't do fresh reporting on his own that I saw, and says, you know, something like, Michelle Bachmann stole a page from the Barack Obama playbook by suddenly departing her Lutheran church or whatnot. And it was just not true. In fact, the only reason we know she left is because her former pastor apparently was doing normal role maintenance, which is something that some pastors do when they actually, they care about who's going to church and whether their needs are being met, whether they're concerned about their attendance. So her pastor actually contacted her and said, what's going on? We haven't seen you in years. And it was only then that she said, yeah, actually, we're not going to a Lutheran church anymore, and we'd like to be formally removed from the roster. So that did happen recently, but she hadn't even been attending for years. So is this an example of her trying to distance herself because of these beliefs? I don't know. I mean, I don't know her. I don't know what her views are. But I have heard that she's going to a generic evangelical church, which probably has even more hostile views on the papacy or the Church of Rome. So I don't know if that would be an accurate description. Maybe wherever she's going or whatever church body she's affiliated with now has the language might be less systematic or less fleshed out than you're going to find in the Lutheran confessions. But I doubt it's going to be terribly much more favorable to the teachings of the Catholic Church or the papacy itself.
Molly, if you had an opportunity to interview Congressman Bachman right now, what kind of questions would you ask her about her Christian faith?
Well, I don't know. I think that what's, I do think it's really interesting to find out how someone's religious views affect their policy views. I'm less interested in what people's religious views are per se than how they might affect other people. So I would be curious, I mean, I'd definitely be curious to ask her about Israel, which is something that she's very supportive of, and it was one of the things that, always made me wonder exactly how Lutheran she was. She she used rhetoric in her support of Israel that sounded sometimes more evangelical than Lutheran. So I might explore that avenue. I might find out what her views are just simply on, you know, the First Amendment, and, you know, how it's practiced in the United States and how her religious views affect that. I do think it is worth asking people not just their religious views but their other views how they would affect their policy. And I think there's still room to talk about those things. And she actually talks about religion quite a bit in her speech. So I think that she would be open to discussing some of these things.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a reporter in Washington, D.C., and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
On the subject of Michelle Bachman, we're going to post my 2003 interview with then-State Senator Michelle Bachman on the subject of postmodernism and education. Now, you can listen to that 2003 interview with Michelle Bachman at your convenience at issuesetc.org. Click listen. When we come back, Mike Bickle, for about the last dozen years, has had a church running out of a former strip mall in the Kansas City area. Is it a church? It's hard to tell. It's a prayer center. He wants 24 hours, 365 days a year of prayer nonstop. They've had it there for 12 years at the International House of Prayer. But is it a cult? We'll be right back.
After more than 20 years, we thought we'd bring you some fresh new ideas for Raging Rivers Water Park. Try this. Raging Rivers, home of the awesome wave pool. Not bad. Raging Rivers does have an awesome wave pool. But what about the endless river, body flume, swirl pool, treehouse harbor, itty bitty surf city, and more? How about Raging Rivers? It's closer than you think. Well, it is just a short scenic drive from anywhere in the Metro St. Louis area. What else? Raging Rivers, affordable fun in the sun. Raging Rivers, the family fun destination. Raging Rivers, a great place for teens. Raging Rivers, open daily on the Great River Road in Grafton, Illinois. You know, these are all wonderful, but they just don't capture the essence of Raging Rivers. The thrills, the relaxation, the absolute ultimate water park experience. Guess there's only one way to say it. Raging Rivers, it's cool when it's hot. For one after 3 p.m. every day with coupons on Bunny Bread Buns and select Bunny Bread products.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do politicians see what our country really needs?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Although most of us are not yet thinking a lot about the next presidential election, potential contenders are working hard to determine what matters most to voters. Considering America's dangerously high debt and lagging job growth, many politicians focus on the economy at the expense of important social issues. But how free and just can we expect the economy to be in a society that doesn't recognize the value of every human life? The right to life is the right without which no other can exist. An important point to remember for politicians eyeing the next election.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.